Thank you. women were chattel in that time. They were property for the husband. And then if the husband took her out of the house, no matter what the reason, they were destitute. They were either just lived in poverty, begging in the street, or they turned to prostitution. So, frivolously, whatever, divorcing your wife and taking her out of the house was a darn cruel thing to do. But when Jesus talks about divorce, he's talking about divorce in the context of Jesus' life. Okay? Now, we have laws today that protect both men and women at the time of divorce. So divorce today has a different meaning, a different concept. But if we try to interpret this gospel, we try to interpret this gospel today in the terms that Jesus was talking about, it's not the same. I mean, there's lots of people in here, several people probably that have been divorced. I don't think that Jesus was talking about me. Because the middle was frivolous. It wasn't frivolous. There's reasons for it. And both the man and the woman were protected under the law. So, those are things we have to take in perspective. So, let's get to the real core of the sermon. How many people have raised the toast and said they're hiding? Okay, anybody knows what it means? Knows what it means? To life. So a Hebrew word to life. Huh? Like the giver of life. That's right. So, amen. Okay, so I think, and I believe that when I read this scripture in Deuteronomy, I say, I bet you that when a Jewish person says, I'm, they mean they got it from Deuteronomy. Here's why. Moses is known as Bethel. He's dying. And he is exhorting his people as they get ready to cross the Jordan River from Jericho to go into the promised land, the land of milk and honey. They tell them they can have life by following the commandments of God, especially the one that calls them to love God. So I want you to listen to this. I know we're ready, but I want you to listen to it again. By loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not bear that I led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today, you shall perish, and you shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. He then encourages them to choose life, according to the life that Moses says to the people of Israel. Them to choose life so that they may live in the land and their descendants will live in the land. Choosing life instructions to follow the laws of the Torah because they give life. They give life because Yahweh promised if the law was kept, the Israelites would continue to live in Yahweh's favor in the promised land. So, the wisdom writer Sirach, which is also an alternate reading for today, says, Paul, if you choose, you can keep the commandments and to act faithfully as a matter of your own choice. He has placed before you fire and water. Stretch out your hand for whichever you choose. Before each person of life and death, and whichever one chooses will be given. Choose life. Again, we hear the assertion that there is a choice between life and death. Choosing to follow the commandments of Yahweh is the choice for life. Now, there are 613 commandments, and I think I've mentioned that in the three sermons that I've given every week in the Torah. But I believe that the people that follow those to the latter are always worried about dotting the I's and crossing the T's, and they spend all their time doing that. So I think it's very hard to do that. But unfortunately for us, I think Jesus nailed it down into the most important ones, and he said in Matthew 22, when he was asked by the Pharisees, teacher, which commandment in the law is greatest? Jesus replied, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This one. These commandments are right in the middle of verse 613. So, all of those commandments literally hinge on this commandment. That you love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. It's the hinge for it. It links all of those commandments together. I believe when we keep these two commandments in the forefront of our mind and follow them, we are truly choosing life. Now, Jesus is pretty smart, and he says that it's not only life that we want. We want a little bit better. So, in the chapter 10 of John, the part about the Good Shepherd, he says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Not only did Jesus come to show us how to have life, but to have it more abundantly. To bring about the realm of God where we can live life to the fullest, keeping God's commandments, to love God with all our heart, our mind, and soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So, perhaps when we read today's gospel, we get kind of scared. It's a real scary gospel. It's a scary one for preachers because you don't know where to start. In many ways, it's not like Jesus is making more rules for us to follow. But if we read it carefully and meditate on it, we find that Jesus is doing what it meant when he says he came to fulfill the law. He's giving us guidance that expands the law
or sister. And your brother and sister is not just your brother and sister in your house, but it's all of humankind. And that's what Jesus means. Because all humans are essentially our brothers and sisters. Jesus calls us to reconcile with those who are in us so that our anger does not elevate the level that destroys community. Jesus recognizes that humans do that anger, and rather than prohibiting anger, he teaches us that it can be transformed by living as a peacemaker, initiating acts that manifest the reign of God in our midst. Jesus calls us to redirect our anger into energy that leads to kingdom living. Jesus calls us to a deeper understanding of what it means to live in the realm of God. According to the feminist biblical scholar Amy Jill Levine, this expansion has particular relevance for women. By collapsing the distinction between thought and action, this extension of the law against adultery to include lust suggests that no one should be regarded as a sex object. That's the reference to tearing out an eye and cutting off a hand, a hyperbole used by Jesus to recognize the need for the integrity of the self in terms of the relationship between intent and action, between attitude and practice. Again, Jesus does not abolish the command to commit adultery, but his inclusion of intention broadens the scope. Jesus is teaching to his disciples on the Mount, and this is the Sermon on the Mount, helps them get us to understand what it means to choose life. And play in a time and place where the realm of God is being unveiled. Jesus is proclaiming the good news and showing us how not only to have life in the inbreaking realm of God, but to have it more abundantly. It may seem that there are more rules to follow, but remember that Jesus narrowed the law into a concise statement on which all the other laws and prophets hinge: to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. This gospel shows us ways to live into that place of choosing life. By choosing life, we open ourselves up to